This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Even gonna like forward promote this anymore. I want it to be like a WWE entrance where like so and so's up there talking, and then suddenly that music just hits, and Derbs,
here I am,
enters from down the hall.
That would be nice. I like that idea.
How you doing, Derbs?
I'm wonderful. Yourself?
How's the knee holding up?
We're getting there. It's been a week.
You're not ready for a marathon or anything.
Well, I'm not ready for that. Healthy.
Dustin Urbis, Derbs, dude down the hall, host of the Front Range Spare Change podcast, where they're focusing on primarily the college football scene and primarily some of the teams that we follow here around the area. But I think we're all ready to turn the page and get ready for the Avalanche, for the Nuggets, and whatever else.
We're like a couple weeks away from the best time of the year, in my opinion, sports-wise.
It's pretty fun right now. Like, yeah. I'll admit, baseball playoffs, the wild card round is more fun than the second round. Yep. Because once the second round starts, now you have hockey starting up.
Yep.
So now, and then you have football most nights of the week now. So it gets difficult. Plus, the wild card is just so fast. It's in the middle of the day. You can put it on in the background. And it's the best of three. So
that's very true. Yeah, I do like the way they redesigned that whole baseball thing. Oh, that is nice. The best of three, best of five, then the sevens.
Yeah, I think it's fun. It makes the first few rounds a little more like every strikeout, every hit, everything matters just a little bit more.
Yeah, because the season's so long in general that like I don't need to see a seven-game series out of every playoff series, especially when they started adding teams and things.
Yeah.
The way they did it was actually great.
All right, so Avalanche get rolling tonight. Going to be nice and early for us. That'll be fun. We'll have that game, of course, here on KFKA tonight, so we're looking forward to it. But just wanted to spend some time talking to you about this roster. And I think this is a very positive thing. I was reading Keeler's article in the Denver Post about the average roster age on this team, and it's like 29.1. Mm-hmm. Things have changed quite a bit because there was a time when it's like, oh, these guys are all pretty young, and there's sky's the limit. But I think now you're at this point where the Avs are a perennial playoff team. They're going to make the playoffs. There's no doubt about that. But how do you get over the hump? How do you deal with tough situations? And this team... Talk about the Valeri Nichushkin stuff, injuries, goalie issues over the span of the last 3 or 4 years. How do you get over some of those mental hurdles? And I think having a wiser team, the captain starting the season off with you with Gabriel Landeskog, I think those are all things that bode well for a team that knows they're getting in. But how do they handle some of the extra stuff that comes with the NHL playoffs?
Yeah, Landy is a real deal there. So he will be the stabilizer, pretty much so, of the top three lines for the most part. He's going to be the one that organizes everything. And that has been Nathan MacKinnon in the locker room, but Nate is an intense person. So when you get a bunch of young guys rallied, kind of, especially the start of last year, they had, you know, Parker Kelly and a couple guys that are, you know, early 20s. They probably don't need to, they don't know how to handle him.
Yeah.
When he's, you know, barking orders and like, why are you here? Why did you make that read? Mishandling pucks. They probably didn't understand that. So Landy being there day in, day out now really probably smooths that process out. And I do. I'm with you. I like the age of the team. A veteran group. They're ready to win. They know how to be ready every single night. I have very high hopes for this team. I think they're going
to
be great.
Yeah, and the Nathan MacKinnon thing is always fun and fun to talk about because there was so much about who's going to get the C because Gabriel Landeskog was out for like, what, 2.5 years?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But MacKinnon's not one of those guys. He looks the part when you see him and celebrate with his team. He's obviously plays the part. But not everybody is a born leader and can kind of coach on the ice. And That certainly doesn't seem to be Nathan MacKinnon's strong suit.
No, it probably would have been probably Cale Makard before Nate. Then you give Nate probably the A if Landy would have retired. I'm so excited to see this whole group together. I think what they have as a whole, Victor Olofsson on the third line with Drury and things, I think stabilizes that line. They're still a little unsteady in the fourth line, but, I mean, they're out there for 7-8 minutes a night. So yeah, you just kind of hope that they don't fumble something away in that time. But, the top two lines are still very, very good.
This, to make a Nuggets cross-reference, this reminds me with a bunch of guys. I remember when Aaron Gordon was first traded to the Nuggets, and he's traded at the trade deadline, and they move on from Gary Harris, and it was good. Mm-hmm. But it was like, oh, it'll be really interesting to see how he does with the full season with this team. Mm-hmm. And I think it's fair to say every year Gordon has been with this team from start to finish, he's gotten better. You look at the Scott Wedgwoods, you look at the Marty Natchez, like those guys, I'm really curious to see how that looks with them having the full offseason, the training camp, and then the preseason, and now starting off the season. Because the moves that they made last year were all moves that worked out pretty good, because this team felt like it was dead in the water at one point last season.
Yeah, this thing basically steadies out the ship the entire year. The goaltending will be better with Blackwood and Wedgwood. Blackwood took the ice yesterday for the first time and a little bit he wasn't with the team dealing with some things. But you should see probably Wedgwood tonight. I don't know if they've announced that yet, but it's probably Wedgwood. Veteran goalie, he'll be ready to go. I think the defense in front of him actually got better. Brent Burns will be a solid
Brent Burns, man.
10-minute a night guy for, I mean, he's 40, he's our age, Brady, which is wild.
He looks like he's lives in the wilderness.
He does.
And he just happens to show up for hockey games once in a while. That guy, I mean, this goes without saying, that's going to be an obvious fan favorite right off the bat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'll be physical. He still has a crazy hard slap shot, so you'll see a lot of opportunities from the blue line. They have a very good mix of extremely skilled and extremely, physical kind of guys. I think the defense got better. I think the offense will fly those top two lines. And then that, like the second and third line, I think will have a few more opportunities just because they don't need to rely on that top line as much.
What are your concerns about this team? I mean, do you just look at this and say, man, on paper, this looks like the perfect roster. They've got the skill, they've got the talent, and they've got the wisdom too, as we outlined.
Health. It's just
stay healthy.
Yeah. I don't have a whole lot of concerns. I would like a little bit more of a third, I guess, goals other than the top two lines. If Olofsson can come in and do what he did for Vegas last year, super help. I don't know if we can get a little more help from the D side of things other than Makar and Taves. Maybe the Brent Burns is that guy. Maybe Sam Girard kind of does a little bit more. But I don't have any overwhelming concerns. It's a very solid hockey club.
You mentioned the injuries. Logan O'Connor going to be out, obviously, tonight.
Yep.
How long do you think he's going to be out to start the season?
You never know with hockey players.
Yeah.
They're a different breed. But I would imagine probably 2 to 4 weeks, at least, until they kind of figure a timeline, I guess, to understand what's going on there.
Yeah, like you mentioned, though, with Jack Drury, that obviously helps alleviate some of that.
Yeah, 100%. They now have guys, they've done a pretty good job of bringing guys up and having them play big-time moments. You know, the start of last year, some of the Parker Kellys, the Kivirantas, some of those guys got meaningful minutes. And so now they kind of know the flow and what's expected of them. I imagine when their name's called, it won't be sticker shock for them anymore.
First game tonight for this team, and again, the expectations are high. How do you feel about the Kings in this game starting off? And again, it's 82 games. It's a marathon. We get that, but both the Avs and the Nuggets last year, when it came down the stretch, yeah, they could have argued that a better spot in the playoffs would have been nice. That's why every game does have. I would be cool with both leagues probably going down to like 65 or something,
agreed.
But it's not going to happen. It is strange, though, how in these leagues it still comes down to a lot of times that final week for seeding.
It does, yeah. The Kings, they'll be fighting for like a top five spot again.
Yeah.
They're very good. No overreactions tomorrow if they lose tonight.
Right. That's the thing.
It is what it is. They have very good players. Anse Kopitar is very good. Drew Doughty is very good. Goaltending there is very solid. So that's a good team. So they'll try to muck it up a little bit. So the Avs need to do a good job on those first two lines of trying to speed things up and then not trying to make too many mistakes on the bottom two lines tonight.
A little gambling question for you. For those that participate for entertainment purposes only, of course.
Of course.
The over-under is 5.5 tonight in this game. Do you see early on in the season this is where you take advantage of some of those because maybe goalies aren't as sharp to start the season out?
Yeah, typically it should favor the offense here because they don't do a lot of live practice and a lot of live reps for the goalie. There's not it's very slow paced, I guess, for most teams' practices. So yeah, there's typically more goals early on than there are mid-season towards the late. Tonight's wise, like you could probably do a little same game or you can, you know, take two teams over 1.5 goals and pick your favorite side. You know, if you want to root for the Avs, play the Avs money line and both teams to score two goals. You can flat take the over 5.5. I don't hate. I think it's pretty juiced right now. So if you're trying to get rid of the -135s or so, you know, pair with a favorite player to get a point or, you know, do something fun. Shots on goal, like Nathan MacKinnon fires the puck all the time. You can take him for 3 or 4 shots on goal and pair it with the Avs team total and watch them have some fun.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one tonight. Of course, we'll have coverage for you starting at 8 o'clock here on KFKA as an affiliate of the Avalanche. We still got like 2.5 weeks still until the Nuggets start up, but both teams coming into the season with a lot of promise. Both teams are aging. Both teams are not in that world that they were 4 years ago where it's like, oh, wow, we got you do get a sense of not necessarily like this is championship or bust for both, but they're both in these windows that aren't going to last an obvious 5 years. Like that's, I think it's fair to say in the next 2 or 3 years, you'd like to get away with both of these teams walking away with at least one more title each.
Yeah, as fans of both of these teams here, this is what you want as a fan. The owners have bought in. The talent level has increased on both sides, the Avs and the Nuggets, I think. Depth has increased on both of the teams. I don't think you can theoretically ask for anything else out of those two off seasons that we got. And I'm with you. I expect long playoff runs for the next probably, 2 to 3 years, I think, is a good window. Outside of that, you're going to wonder what the MacKinnons and Jokers and continuity things kind of, you know, as a roster construction piece together. It's going to get a little hairier, but these next two to three years are going to be fun for us.
Yeah, I mean, how disappointed would it be if we walk away from this in 5 years and Joker's, I don't know if it's five, but Joker's done, MacKinnon's getting closer, the window shuts, and you only have the one title for the Avs and the one title for the Nuggets.
Yeah, I'd be sad because I think both of those players are so special that they deserve more. And it's not from lack of their quality of play for the most part. But yeah, I'd be super sad if they don't get one in the next 5 years. I'd be pretty disappointed.
Yeah,
in that.
Me too. I think when you have just especially a guy like Joker and a guy like MacKinnon, two of the greats, perhaps two of the greatest of all time, really, when you're having those discussions, the Rushmores and all that, to walk away with one each would be considered a pretty significant disappointment.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that this sports in Colorado would have MVP candidates everywhere.
Yeah.
Bo Nix is probably climbing up there. But those two and Nate and Joker are the elite of the elite, and I think we should embrace that greatness a little bit more than what we do instead of wondering, you know, too much of futures and things like that. Like, take it in day by day because these players don't come around a lot.
Well, and partial to, you know, to that is the altitude, not getting their stuff together with Comcast and Dish Network over the years to try to give us a long opportunity to watch. We a lot of fans spent a lot of time not watching two of the greatest players to ever play in the state of Colorado.
Yeah, that makes me sad. That's just terrible.
Yeah.
I wish I had a better resolve to those things because sports here, you know, for me, it makes me happy. And watching those two night in and night out. It's special and it's fun to watch.
Yeah, 100%. Yes, Michael.
You should be able to get altitude and altitude two on Fubo.
Yeah, they've got everything resolved now. It's just we're talking the both championship runs.
Yeah,
they were knee deep in this turmoil.
Yep.
In the tug of war between the two or three entities.
That's just a wild situation, honestly. When you really think about that, like I really truly wonder what they were arguing about. Rights here and there. Is it airtime? Is it?
Well, I mean, it was what I remember from a lot of it was, and again, it just depends on who you listen to, but so much of it was okay. The Cronkies are asking for more, essentially, and the Comcast of the world, the dishes are like, your market doesn't dictate that. You know, you don't have, the viewers aren't there, which is crazy to me because you're dealing specifically in the state of Colorado. And it's like, but then the Nuggets and the Avs go on to win championships. I would imagine the ratings would have been through the roof. So you never judged it based on when they were both at their best.
Right. The market things, that's always crazy to me. Like how you can, because obviously the L.A. market, the Chicago market, the New York market. So what, they just get everything that they can feasibly ask for because they think that there's more people per capita?
Yeah.
That's strange to me, I guess.
It was with me, I did end up kind of, and I love Altitude, and I'm a big fan of the radio network, television network, all of it. But it was kind of like, man, if there's going to be a side to bend, clearly it's going to have to be you.
Yeah.
Can you, and I know it's easier said than done, but we're in advertising. Can you not find those potential advertisers to help offset the costs if you can't afford to do all this and pay your talent?
There had to have been a better way to do that for sure. And at least not to make it as long of a process.
Yeah.
That should have been done, resolved pretty quick. By the way, did you see Connor McGahee's post today?
No, I didn't.
Read that one out there. It's fantastic. He talked about when he was 10 years old and went to McNichols for the first time and watched this Avalanche team. And then he gets to obviously call the games for the Colorado Avalanche and
one
just
of the
how,
best.
Yeah, how blessed he is. And it's cool. He is one of the best. His
so unique. And I think hockey lends itself to a lot of unique play-by-play guys, but he is one, man. I love the stuff he comes up with.
Yep, he's one. If the Nuggets and the Avalanche are on at the same time, I will listen to the Avalanche and watch the Nuggets because his nicknames and the goal scoring and the passion, it's very, very cool.
Yeah, I love the, and this is a tie game. Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yes, Michael.
It's awesome.
I love the radio. Radio broadcasts are almost always better than TV broadcasts. The Avs radio broadcast is excellent.
Yeah, very good.
And it's high-flying, so it's hard to like keep up, and I think he does an awesome
I don't know
job
how those guys do, especially on radio.
And the name pronunciations.
Staying away from that. You know, they say, well, aren't you in radio? Yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
No.
I have botched more names than I
remember.
You can
spell it out and all those things, and I'm not there either.
No, I could say a name a million different times, too, and still get it wrong.
Yeah, you get my name wrong all the time.
What? It's not Michael?
I really like Micah.
Oh, it's Micah. Where did I get Michael from?
I think you made that up 10 years ago.
You just look like a Michael.
Game.
I've been here 2 years and I thought his name was Michael.
I was pretty convinced until that moment right there that your name was Michael.
I learned something today.
Yeah.
That's what I learned today.
That's what we learned today. Yeah. Michael's real name is wait, it's Michael? But I got it right.
I really like Michael.
Okay.
Micah.
And Jerry Jones seem to have weird thing. 23 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break. It's the whole show. Derbs, appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you. I'm excited
for this game tonight. I don't know how long I stay up for,
man.
It, though.
8:50 puck drop out there.
That's not fun. But,
no.
You know,
I love these early games.
That's because you're like in your cloak and you're walking around with a lantern. That's what you do. So you like the darkness.
Yes, I'm hunting for grubs in
no,
the darkness.
Someone rings the doorbell here past like dark, and then Micah enters in his cloak with his lantern.
Hoping it's pizza out there.
Is there pizza?
And you just let him in.
If anyone wants to buy me pizza.
Anybody rings the doorbell, Michael just lets him in. He doesn't even ask who they are. He just,
well, come on up.
There's pizza.
Sometimes it's not pizza. Could be a creepy serial murderer that you just let in the building. But good luck to all of us. Derbs can barely move.
Yeah, how am I going to get away?
We'll be right back.
Join Kyle Johnson and Bruce Dick for the high school football game of the week. Fridays on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.